Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres pulled out an extra innings win in San Francisco. And the only thing better than that is the new camera focused on our host, Jesse Agler.
Padres Social Hour has an extreme close-up on Jesse Agler's chest camera in their arsenal. There it is. Possible Emmy Award on the way. How about those pecs?
Also on set, sharing airtime with Jesse's pecs and being antagonized by his words, it's Bill Center.
Because I want to bait you, Bill Center. I want to hear what you have to say so that I can argue with you and disagree with you.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines and produced by the greatest producer in all of producing producery.
So, blooper, you know, best producer in the business, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
You talk about taking out of context to a whole new level.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That sneaky blooper. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. We're here at Petco Park as we get you ready, or start to get you ready, for the second game of a three-game series between the Padres and the Giants from the AMR studio here inside the team store. The kids are out of school for summer, so they're shopping in the team store. They're getting all their Padre gear for the baseball season, and they're coming to check us out. Hi, guys. Have fun. Man, that was a crazy game last night.
Great game.
That was a really, really crazy game last night. Here's how I know it was crazy, because when it ended, it was late and I was tired, but I was, like, too fired up to go to bed. Like, I was all energized. I was all, like, hopped up. Like, that's how you know it's a big one. I was, like, I was ready to go. I don't know what to do what, but I was ready to go. I was very excited after that game last night. It took me, like, 2 hours to fall asleep when it ended.
When did you think that the Padres really had a chance to win that game?
Once they tied it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought it was with the two innings that Maurer worked. When he went through that part of the lineup, I thought, hey, they're going to get this sucker. And they got it the next inning.
They did. So, yeah, we'll talk about Brandon Maurer. We'll talk about tying the game. I guess maybe the place to start is Will Venable. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Eighth inning, Clint Barmas has just struck out. And along with that, Pat Murphy has been ejected. Matt Kemp has been ejected,
gone.
Which was such a joke, by the way.
Right.
We'll get to that as well. And Will Venable is up against Madison Bumgarner with the Padres down 2-0 in the eighth. And, man, tough at bat against the lefty. He gets a pitch a little bit out over the plate. He drives it the other way. The two runs come in and score. And with one out in the eighth inning, despite having struck out 14 times against Bumgarner, the Padres tie the game 2-2.
You know, two players stick out in my mind right now. You're talking about the lefty Bumgarner. Will Venable and Yonder Alonso are both so far above their season or their career averages against left-handers this year.
Yes.
It's almost they deserve now to be playing full-time against left-handers. No more bring in right-handers to face left-handers and get these guys out of there. They're doing very well. Alonso's on-base percentage against lefties is 45%. That's amazing.
Yeah, 450.
Right.
You love that. You absolutely love that. So Venable gets the big hit. That ties the game. Eventually, the bullpen would continue to do their thing. And eventually, then Alexi Amarista's infield single off the mitt of Hunter Strickland, the pitcher, would sort of put the Padres ahead. Craig Kimbrell would close the door. There's so much else to digest here, but I like getting on the umpires sometimes. I take that back. I don't like getting on the umpires. I don't like having to get on the umpires. But last night, what a disaster.
Right.
Fielding Culberth behind the plate. Forget ejecting Pat Murphy, because he knew what was happening there.
Right.
He knew he was coming out to get ejected. But the strike zone, you know those balls that the kids have, and it's like sometimes it's a small ball, and then you can like unfold it and it becomes a big one? That was the strike zone last night. And it helped the Padres at times, don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was like, it was maddening how inconsistent the strike zone was last night.
Well, for a lot of the game, strikes were balls and balls were strikes. I mean, it was all over the place. And if you're a hitter, it's impossible to try to figure out what you're doing with that kind of a strike zone.
That's it.
Hey, for early in the game, low pitches were strikes, and all of a sudden they weren't strikes. And then they were strikes again. I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
It was frustrating, I'm sure, for the batters, as you said, because at least when you sort of think you know what's going on, then all of a sudden you don't. So Pat Murphy is ejected. And then, like, when these things happen and when there's sort of a night's worth of frustration, and by the way, the Murphy ejection and the Barmas strikeout was on one of these things we've talked a lot about this year,
right,
which was just ask for help.
Right.
Fielding Culbreth, just ask for help. You can't tell whether he swung or not while you're tracking the ball coming in on a close one. Do I personally think Clint Barmas swung? I do.
Right.
But what's the harm in asking for help?
Right. He shouldn't. I mean, that's not his call. His call is watching balls and strikes. And I got a couple of tweets last night from an umpire saying you can do them both. Well, I don't think you can do them both.
Not
and
well.
That's why it's set up so you can ask for help.
Exactly.
So just, I mean, that's just egotistical incompetency to try to think you can do everything back there.
I would say that's exactly right. So then, again, somebody gets ejected. People are unhappy with the strike zone all night. They're unhappy with the mechanics of that particular play. There will be some folks in the dugout voicing their displeasure. That's just sort of part of the deal.
Right.
And you move on from it. And then the first base umpire, Jim Reynolds, sends Matt Kemp to the showers from the dugout. Come on.
Right.
Why are you worried about that? Worry about the game. Don't worry about a guy in the dugout. Rabbit ears is what they call them.
Right. Oh, there was a lot of it. I mean, Culbreth actually sort of baited Murphy. Murphy was going to come out anyway, but Culbreth sort of baited him. The looks that he gave towards the dugout right before Murphy came out were, I mean, that's just uncalled for.
Very frustrating. Now, all of that being said, probably didn't help Madison Bumgarner out much.
No.
All of that.
Probably didn't. I mean, it's disruptive, but
yes,
the guy who kept his cool through all that, when, I mean, you're in a dugout during something like that, your juices get flowing. Other
sure.
players get juice. Will Venable stayed very cool. They showed a couple times. They sort of flashed. You could see him in the background when all that was going on, and he was just cool as a cucumber. Went up, got his job done.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. So I don't know if there was any gamesmanship on Pat Murphy's part as far as, all right, I might as well try and, you know, mess with the flow of Madison Bumgarner at this point. But whether that was intended or not, it couldn't have helped Madison right. Bumgarner to have all of that happening, especially at that point in the night, having thrown the number of pitches that he had. I thought
that
was
great. And you're on a run.
Exactly.
He was just mowing them down.
He's rocking and rolling. And just to continue the umpire talk, one more play. So after Venable doubles – there's the fielder's choice, and he is thrown out at second base. He was safe. It was really close. It was tough on replay. I understand that. And would you say, was there enough evidence to overturn it? New York said no. I would say, well, there was.
Right.
If they call him safe, he's safe. They called him out, so they don't change it. I would classify this as gutless, frankly, because I thought there were plenty of angles that showed the tag was not applied until it hit him in the chest when he was already back on. I had a Giant fan on Twitter telling me, no, he hit the brim of his helmet. He didn't.
No.
I went back and I was that guy with the DVR. I'm going in slow-mo and watching it 100 times. He does not get the brim of the helmet. Is there a crystal clear 1,000% view? No, but the call is wrong. Like, he's safe, and you've just screwed up everything else, and it was 4 minutes, and I don't know. It just kind of came off as gutless to me, and maybe in a vacuum I don't have that huge of a problem with that call, but after everything that had transpired in the previous couple of minutes, it was kind of like throw your hands up in the air.
Right. I agree.
Very frustrating as far as the umpiring to go all over there. So, anyway.
If you can't reverse that call, I mean, they have reversed some really close calls.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't reverse that call – when it's pretty clear that he missed the arm, he missed the bill of the helmet, and he caught the chest as he was coming in, why have replay?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's gutless, but why have replay? I think it's more incompetent than gutless.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going straight incompetence.
There's an awful lot of incompetent umpiring right now.
There is. And remember that the calls in New York are being made by umpires.
Right.
It's not a separate replay official. It's an actual umpire. And so for a series or however long, and I'm not sure how long they do it, the umpires will actually be up in New York as opposed to being on the field, in New York or St. Louis or Seattle or wherever else. It's just part of their rotation. So I don't know that that's necessarily something everybody realizes, but they are umpires in New York looking at it, which I'm fine with. I don't have any issue with that. But it's not, you know, some distant, imaginary, shadowy replay figure. It's an actual Major League umpire that's up in New York, and I would imagine they're helping each other out. But anyway, Anyway, it was a tough one. It was a tough one last night. Fielden Culberth was a joke with the strike zone. And, again, not just hurting the Padres. It helped the Padres at times. Craig Kimbrel got a call or two that certainly were nice for him. But it's just so frustrating watching that. And I was having this conversation with somebody earlier today. I don't think the umpires are worse now than they were back in the day. You know, I just think with all the technology that we have, it's become evident how nearly impossible their jobs are for them to be good all the time and for them to be right. And this does bring us back into, like, robot balls and strikes and why I think it's inevitable. Because if I can watch on TV on Fox Sports San Diego and see right away with great accuracy, now look, if it's right on the edge and it goes ball or strike, that's one thing. But when it's an inch or two outside of the box or an inch or two inside of the box and the call goes the wrong way, there's no excuse for that anymore. And back in the day, you might say to yourself, man, that looked like a bad call, but you weren't really sure. Now you're sure.
I'm not so certain that umpires years ago were better than these guys. I really think they might have been.
Yeah.
Yes, because so much of the game then depended on them. I think right now, I think some umpires in the base paths are absolutely lazy. To make the call because they know, hey, if it goes the wrong way, it's going to go to review anyway.
Right.
There were umpires that Gorman, Nestor Chyla, there were great umpires. Maybe I just remember the really good ones, but I'm not quite so sure that they haven't regressed over the years.
You're more than free to say that, obviously. My counter would be, we'll never know.
Right.
Because there were three cameras in, you know, the 60s
right.
and the 70s and maybe a couple of more in the 80s. So we as viewers never really got a great look or second look or third look or super slow-mo look or HD look at some of these calls. So maybe you gave the benefit of the doubt to the umpires.
And the other thing, which I do think the umpire today, they're dealing with more velocity, more late break on sliders and cut fastballs. Back then, it was pretty much the big curve and the fastball. And I think those are easier to call than some of the pitches now that you have diving out of the strike zone.
That's an interesting wrinkle as well. All right, it is. All right, so a lot of umpire talk, and hopefully we kind of move on from that. There's one other guy I want to highlight from last night, and then we'll kind of continue. And we got a bunch of Twitter stuff coming up. We'll get to your questions and your comments. We'll talk more about last night's game. We'll talk about today's roster moves. We'll talk about tonight's lineup because Matt Kemp is leading off, and that is certainly a noteworthy thing. But Brandon Maurer last night comes out of the bullpen, and he is part of six scoreless innings for the Padre bullpen. But Maurer, to me, stood out for a couple of reasons, and so he is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. So Maurer is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. He is now 5-0 with a 1.50 ERA. He has allowed one run since the beginning of May, which means he's got a 0.35 ERA in his last 26 innings of work. So basically two full months, May and June, and he's got an ERA of 0.35. Two innings in an extra inning game is so huge, and that's what he provided.
You know, he's on a run right now where he had 12 straight scoreless games. Then he gave up a run in one game, followed that with 11 straight scoreless outings. So it really is amazing. I mean, remember, he was one of those guys early in the year that a lot of fans were on, you know, oh, I don't like this guy. His ERA after about eight appearances was 4.5. Well, it's down to 1.5. I think there's a guy that I really believe. In fact, my five thoughts today, I wrote about the fact that this is a guy that should really be in the All-Star game.
He absolutely is deserving of that.
Right.
But as we know, you know, he doesn't wear a Royals uniform, so it might not happen. He's our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Nice job, Brandon Maurer, our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Should I read into it all how he was used last night and how Joaquin Benoit was used last night?
Read into it?
As far as roles?
Oh, I think they've switched.
Okay.
I really do think they've switched. I noticed that a couple times ago. I think now that Maurer has moved from 7th to 8th.
Okay. So you think he is the setup guy at this point?
I do think right now he's probably the setup guy.
It'll be interesting to hear what Pat Murphy has to say about that when they kind of get back in town and the full media can descend upon him.
Right.
You know, it's obviously been a whirlwind week or so for Pat Murphy, and getting back, I think, home to Petco Park this weekend for the Diamondbacks, we'll be able to have some good conversations.
He's only had one home game.
Wow, that's right. The second game against the A's.
Right. That was his managerial debut. And then he's been on the road ever since. So
Matt Kemp has homered in every home game in which he has been managed by Pat Murphy.
Good point.
There you go. Mark that one down.
Right.
All right. After the break, plenty of your Twitter stuff coming up. You can join our conversation as always. Questions and comments, criticisms, critiques, whatever you got. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to chat with other fans, watch the show, listen to the show, and all of that. Plenty more to talk about, as we said. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Plenty more Padres Social Hour coming up from the AMR studio.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Big win for the Pods last night, 3-2 in 11 innings up at AT&T Park in San Francisco. And tonight, game two of that series, Ian Kennedy will throw against Ryan Vogelsong, who is still pitching, 37 years old.
Right.
And he's still doing his thing. And obviously they've had some mixing and matching to do in their rotation because of injury. But Vogelsong is a part of it for now. And the Padres are going to try and take advantage of that tonight. We each have a lot of thoughts on last night, on today, on the lineup. But I want to make sure everybody has a chance to have their say. And so I want to get to some Twitter stuff, really, before we continue here. And we begin with our buddy Cody, who picks up sort of where we left off last segment about Brandon Mauer. And Cody wants to know if we think Brandon Mauer has what it takes to be a future closer.
I think Brandon Mauer has what it takes to be a future starter.
Oh.
I think that down the road, his future, I think, is going to be in the rotation. I was thinking that, you know, if Morrow doesn't come back, it'd be pretty hard to make the change this year because he isn't stretched out.
Yeah.
But I think next year that you would definitely take a look at this guy as a starting pitcher.
So he has been a starter in his past, so everybody knows. Yeah.
He's only 24. A lot of people like the upside to him moving forward. I think he's going to be a starter.
I always get nervous when you move guys around back and forth.
Right.
I think of like a Jabba Chamberlain who was sort of dominant in one role and has forever since been mediocre at best in different roles.
Right.
And maybe that's a bit alarmist. I like the idea of if a guy does something really well, don't mess with it. And he's right now pitching really, really well as a reliever. The other side of that, of course, is – it's much more valuable,
right,
you know, to have a really good starting pitcher than it is a reliever, and that's why I guess that temptation exists.
I think he's got the stuff. Like last night, not a problem for him to go two innings.
Right.
I think he's got the stuff and the durability to be a starter. That he was a starter earlier in his major league career.
Right.
They moved him to a bullpen. He's not too old to move back, and I think in the long term he looks to me to be a starting pitcher. And Kimbrel's going to be here looks to be here for a while, so
right,
you don't really need a closer.
Yeah.
You may need a starter.
No, that's you could always use another starter.
Right.
You could always use another really good starter.
Won't happen this year because he's
no chance.
No chance to be lengthened out.
And they'd even said as early as spring training that wasn't something they were going to experiment with during the season.
Right, right.
And maybe that goes back to the Chamberlain or whoever else, you know, you want to use as an example, is that they said, hey, this year he is a reliever. That
right,
will not change during right, this season.
Remember a couple of years ago when they moved Cashner from the bullpen to the rotation, they had the luxury that he still had an option, and they sent him to the minor leagues to lengthen out. You don't have that option. I mean, you don't have that luxury with Mauer.
It was also kind of part of the plan, right?
Right, right.
It was sort of known that, hey, this is the way we're going to do this. And again, with Mauer, they came out very, very strongly at the beginning of this season and said
right,
he's just a relief pitcher. All right, East Village Times says, hey, in three at-bats in the top of the eighth last night, the momentum switched. That's how quickly a game or a season can turn around. I know we've said this before, but last night, to me, feels like one of those games that can start a run. And I guess that's what you're hoping for.
Right, and that's what you're always hoping for. But like a manager we knew quite well. His feeling was always momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And when that guy gets the ball, if he's on, if you get two or three good games in a row and your starters two or three good games, that starts a run. And I don't mean you have to win seven in a row, eight in a row, but you want to run like 10-2 or 10-3.
That's what you're going to need to do.
And that's what gets you going.
Oh, by the way, Arizona and Los Angeles lost as well last night. And obviously San Francisco. So that would be all three teams in front of the Padres in the standings. And I'm breaking my own rules by talking this much about the standings at this point in the season. But I think perspective is important because for as much as we've discussed the struggles that the Padres have had, they're hanging in, man. They're hanging in this National League West just because of how it's looking on top of them.
And the Dodgers are in a bit of a rut right now. Yeah. I mean, they're not playing very well. So,
but I'll say this. If the Padres end up in a good place when all is said and done this year, you might look back at June 23rd.
Right.
You might look back and say, hey, remember they were down 2-0 to Bumgarner in the eighth and Murphy and Kemp got ejected and it felt like the whole world was against you and they came back and tied it and then Amarista with an infield single in the 11th won it. You could look back at last night's game and say, hey, that was something. And I think that's exactly right, what you're hoping for. Ozzy is up next and he goes back to the umpiring. He says the strike zone has been inconsistent all season long, it seems. Agreed. But he loved how the boys responded after the ejection. That's one of those age-old baseball things we don't know the answer to.
Right.
Did Pat Murphy getting ejected, did Matt Kemp getting ejected have any impact on what took place in the following at-bat? Pat Murphy said after the game, he goes, I get no credit for that whatsoever. But anecdotally, it does seem like sometimes when those things happen, good things occur afterwards.
Certainly it could. The one thing it can do is it can disrupt the starting. It could disrupt the pitcher if he's out there for a while as everybody's arguing and he's just standing out there waiting to get back to work. I think an awful lot depends when something like that is going on, what the attitude and what the mindset of the next hitter is or the next guy you've got coming up. Because if he keeps his cool, which Venable did, then you can be in pretty good shape.
Right. And if you're not getting six scoreless innings out of your bullpen, none of it matters.
Right.
You know, and if Venable doesn't get that hit, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And there's a billion little variables that go into whether or not a game is won or lost. But I certainly didn't mind it. I liked it. You know, I like stuff like that. I don't know. It strikes a chord in my inner 12-year-old boy. I don't know.
You get fired up.
I do. I get fired up. I was
know
all
you
into
do.
It. Yeah, I had a little edge on Twitter last night. Like, I wanted that one. And it seemed like the team really wanted it, and they got it, and it was exciting, and it was fun. And like I said, I hope it's one we look back on in a couple of months and say, hey, remember that game against Bumgarner? That's when this thing clicked. That's when this thing clicked. All right, a little bit of news to talk about. The Padres made some roster moves today. A lot to digest here.
Right.
Mostly surrounding the bullpen. Nick Vincent optioned to AAA El Paso. He gets swapped out for Kevin Quackenbush. So we've seen the two of them sort of go backs and forths a few times.
And here's Nick Vincent works an inning in two-thirds last night. He has options. Nobody else in the bullpen has options. You can't use them for a day or two. So he goes out for at least 10 days. Kevin Quackenbush, who couldn't be brought back the last time they needed a relief pitcher because he hadn't been down there the 10 required days.
Right.
He's now back.
So Nick Vincent, who's looked really good this turn.
Right.
What was this, his third stint already this year?
Yes, right.
Already his third stint this year. He's looked good, but he wasn't going to be available. And so in order to have a little bit more length in that bullpen, they make the move. So Vincent down, Quackenbush up. Also Dale Thayer, who has struggled a little bit as of late, placed on the 15-day disabled list, retroactive to last week, the 17th, the last time he pitched. He's got a strained right shoulder. And so to fill his spot, how about this? Marcos Mateo, who we saw in spring training and pitched really, really well in spring training this year, but then we kind of forgot about him because he was down in El Paso.
Well, he's been the closer at El Paso, and he's got a really good earned run average. He's the closer down there, major league experience, perfect guy to bring up here. And they had to create a spot on the 40-man roster, so they moved Brandon Morrow from the 15-day to the 60-day disabled list, but it doesn't change anything with Morrow because he is still eligible to return on July 5th if he's ready, and he wouldn't have been ready any time before that.
Exactly. So don't let anybody freak out about Brandon Morrow going to the 60-day disabled list because he's been on the DL since like May 3rd, right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether he's on the 15 or the 60. This opens up a spot so they can bring up Marcus Mateo, and who was really successful as the El Paso closer, by the way, in ERA in the ones, I think.
Right, 1.35, I think.
There
you
go, 1.35 in his 22 games, 1.86.
1.86?
By my notes, sorry. 1.86 in 22 games. Has last pitched in the major leagues back in 2011. So it's been a little while for Marcus Mateo, but he is back. Big guy. Kind of fun to watch pitch. He's got a little bit of personality out on the mound, and a cool opportunity for him, and certainly deserved.
Right, and he's been working all this season in AAA as a late game reliever, so he's used to the pressure. He's used to coming in late in games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so there you go. That's the roster moves. We'll take a break. Come back. More Twitter to get to, certainly. Also, we'll talk about tonight's starting lineup. Matt Kemp is leading off. That is a difference for sure. It's a new thing. It's a new opportunity for Kemp, and it's a shake-em-up for Pat Murphy and his staff. Hey, extraordinary moments happen every night in baseball, but on one night, they all happen in one place. Don't miss the 86th All-Star Game. Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Pacific on Tuesday, July 14th. Only on Fox. I like that. Extraordinary moments happen every night in baseball, but on one night, they all happen in one place. You don't need the whip around on FS1 to go from game to game to game. On July 14th, you need one channel, and you see all the brightest stars. We'll take a break, come back, talk about tonight's starting lineup, and get to more of your questions and comments. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler, Ian Kennedy, and Ryan Vogelsong. Tonight from AT&T Park in San Francisco, Padres trying to make it two in a row against the Giants and get on that long-awaited roll. Right, just take it right now into the All-Star break.
Right.
I want to be having a conversation when the Padres are in Arlington, Texas, in 140-degree weather, going into the All-Star break, being like, man, I wish the All-Star break wasn't coming up because this team is so hot, I want to keep it rolling. That's what I want to happen.
Right, and I know exactly what you mean. You're like, I was with the Padres once when they had won like five straight going into the All-Star break, and everybody was just like this letdown.
Yeah.
Well, this happened at the wrong time.
Exactly. So that's the position I want to be in.
Right.
That's the position I want to be in. All right, we've talked about it. Matt Kemp is leading off today. Let's take a full look at the starting lineup that Pat Murphy has penned in for the Pods tonight in San Francisco. It's definitely a different look, and the lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly sky. So Matt Kemp will lead off and play right field. Solarte bats second at second base. Alonso will hit third and play first base. So first time all year Kemp is leading off. First time all year Alonso hits third. Justin Upton back to the cleanup spot. Remember, he was there at the beginning of the season. Then Norris, Venable, Middlebrooks, Amarista, and the pitcher Kennedy. Interesting.
I like it.
Do tell.
I do like it because there are a lot of people in baseball, a lot of scouts, who were always of the opinion that Matt Kemp was a better top of the lineup hitter than he was 3, 4, 5. And I like this. It's a different look. It's a little it's a little bit what you would expect of a college guy who is a former college coach. Mix it up. Move his parts around. Alonso right now is the most consistent Padre hitter over the last month, or since he's been back from the disabled list. He's been the most consistent hitter. So I like what they're doing tonight.
I have two words. Why not?
Right.
Why not? Give it a shot.
Right.
I mean, and again, as far as I'm concerned, like, all right, look, last night, Bumgarner, 14 strikeouts, all that. But generally speaking, the Padres are scoring runs. They're not pitching. But if you got to mix things up to try and get a guy going like Matt Kemp, I like it. You know, over the last couple of weeks especially, people have asked us over and over again, hey, why not move Matt Kemp down to 6 or 7? And the answer to that is I just don't know that you can do that to, like, your superstar, however many million-dollar guy. Like, it's just, it's a hard thing to do. You're worried about keeping his mind right and everything like this. This is a way to get Matt Kemp out of the middle of the order, but still getting him involved right out of the bat. There's going to be less time to think. There's going to be whatever. Like, that first at bat of the game, on the road especially, you're up, man. Let's go for it. And we've said 100,000 times this year, the Padres don't have a prototypical leadoff guy. So it's not like you're taking, Ricky Henderson out of the leadoff spot to put Matt Kemp there. Why not? Give it a shot. See if it gets him going.
And he's done it before.
Yes.
He's hit leadoff before, and he's flourished as a leadoff hitter. You know, and it, and they say, you know, well, we don't want him to change anything. But I think you automatically, if you're a hitter, you change a little bit when you're in three or four or when you're leading off. It's a little bit different approach.
Sure.
And this approach might really help him.
Absolutely. All right. So we just saw the lineup. Let's do the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Last night, the couch took the victory. A nice choice by Randy Jones as he took Despaigne, who threw five nice innings, by the way.
Right.
We haven't even talked about Despaigne because we've talked so much about the bullpen. You know, five innings, two runs, I'll take it. You'd love more length. You'd love more distance from your starting pitcher. But, you know, on a night like that, you're trying to find some offense. You're pinch hitting, and you're trying to strike while you can. So the couch won the Supercuts head-to-head challenge last night. So the up-to-date standings are closing in a little bit.
Okay.
It's a three-point game. The couch trying to catch up to Blooper, who this has sort of been a hot and cold thing this year.
To lose to Blooper at the end of the year, I think that
there's a lot of pride on the line here. A lot of pride on the line. So Blooper's got the first choice today. I've got a guess. I've got a guess where he's going to go. But go ahead, Blooper. What are you thinking?
The leadoff hitter?
There you go. That's what I thought. I thought
he would take Kemp.
I like that. I like that a lot tonight. You know, mix it up. See if something special can happen. So he's taking Kemp.
Okay. I'm going to take Yonder Alonso.
You just talked about it. Most consistent hitter on the team
right
now. Okay. Those are two good choices. If I were picking, I would have chosen one of those two. I don't know which one, but I would have chosen one of those two guys. So I like your selections, and we'll see who has a greater impact on the game. Tomorrow, we will award a point. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Let's hop back to Twitter for a brief moment here and get to a couple before the break, and then a bunch more with the fans coming up. Marcus checks in to say that he has a Justin Upton World Series MVP tattoo across his back. What should I do? So, Marcus, I don't know if you're a religious man or not, but if you are, I would consider praying. That would be – because, look – the Padres getting to the World Series would be a great accomplishment. The Padres winning the World Series would, of course, be the ultimate accomplishment. But you're not even hedging your bets that way.
Right.
You're calling out the MVP. I like your faith, I would say, Marcus. I like your faith.
And wear a shirt.
Yeah. Don't go to the pool this summer.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. But good luck. I imagine he's kidding.
I don't,
if he's not please
kidding.
Send a picture
right.
And come on down here and let's talk about that.
Right, if you're not kidding,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
Come on down, Marcus. Auntie in Australia checks in. I always like when the international flavor gets introduced because you get to use words like keen. Interesting move with Kemp leading off. I'm keen to see how he does. We're all keen to see.
Right.
We're all keen to see, Auntie in Australia.
All I know is that, in fact, when right after the trade, we had Matt Kemp in here. On Padre Social Hour.
That is the name of the show, yeah.
Right, and I'm lost in my thought here.
Sorry.
But we talked about...
It's probably not helping that I was interrupting then.
Right. We talked about hitting different places in the order because he is definitely a 3-4 guy most of his career, but he has had really good success when he's hit other spots, one or two in his career. So
you might as well give it a shot.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Why not? Let's see what he can do. And I like the open-mindedness. That's what I really like. That's one of my life philosophies, right? Like, be open about things, be willing to change, be nimble, be flexible, do things that maybe are off the beaten path. And certainly Pat Murphy is one of those guys, and
now,
I like that.
I would have loved to have been there for the conversation between Pat Murphy and Matt Kemp about hitting leadoff because Pat's got this – I mean, as a college coach, you know how to work with kids. You know how to work with players. And he might have had to do a little bit of a selling job to get Matt to say yes. But evidently, these things just don't happen unilaterally. It takes both sides to say, hey, I want to do it. I would have loved to have been there for that conversation between the two.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been appropriate for Pat to have that conversation with you in the room.
No, probably not, yeah, but no. I would still would have loved to have been there.
Fly on the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Fly on the wall.
You know what you do is you take your iPhone, you put on the voice recorder, and you just accidentally
leave your phone there?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
we do that to Blooper
again.
In the office all the time. We hear him having conversations with people.
With himself?
Very entertaining. Yeah, he talks to himself all
right.
day. He just sits there and mumbles. Hey, Saturday night is a baseball night in San Diego, and the giveaway features – The Beach Towel, presented by National University. Get your tickets to see the Padres and the Diamondbacks at Padres.com/BNISD. It's a 7:10 first pitch this Saturday night, a 7:10 first pitch. All fans in attendance. You don't have to be one of the first 20,000 in the building. You don't have to be a certain age. If you walk into Petco Park on Saturday night, you are getting a Padres Beach Towel, and that is the best part of the whole deal. We'll take a break. And when we come back, more of your questions, comments, etc. on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and Giants coming up. Gigantes from San Francisco's AT&T Park. By the Bay, McCovey Cove, the whole deal. They got that coming up tonight, a 7:15 first pitch once again. And another reminder, tomorrow is a day game. If you have the original printed schedule from the San Francisco Giants, you would see that tomorrow is a night game, but it's been changed.
Right, it's a day game.
12:45, an early game, and we're on early, right? Blooper, we go right into the game tomorrow. I think we're on at 11:30 tomorrow morning. So right into the short pregame. So that's a tomorrow day game. Hopefully the Padres will be going for the sweep. Tomorrow. How about that?
Wouldn't that be sweet?
We haven't gotten a Taylor Swift update from Blooper in the last couple of days. And now the interesting thing is here, so somehow at some point we challenged Blooper, or he guaranteed, that's what happened. Blooper, our producer, guaranteed that he would get Taylor Swift on the show some way or another prior to her concert here at Petco Park in August. This has since expanded. Somebody on Twitter recently challenged him to get Madonna on prior to her October concert. Conan O'Brien is going to be doing his show from Spreckles Theater downtown during Comic-Con. So Blooper's been challenged to get Conan on, and also Triumph, the insult comic dog, Robert Smigel, one or the other, to get him on. And then also, what was the other one? Lil Jon. Who's going to be doing his thing way back Wednesday, a week from today, at Petco Park. Little John's going to be out at the Park at the Park doing a DJ set after that game against the Seattle Mariners. So all of these challenges. So any update on Taylor Swift or anyone else for that matter?
Two tweets at her yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she favorite them, reply, retweet?
No response.
No response.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's marking him down now as possible stalker.
As, like, danger?
Right, and turning him over to the FBI. So we could have somebody come in and actually remove we could be losing Blooper here one day as they take him away.
It would be no great loss.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear the lead-in promo today?
Oh, no, yeah. According to the promo, he's, like, the biggest deal in the world.
According to you.
Yeah. No, that's nice. The good news is, though, Blooper, you're not working on your own to get Taylor Swift on the show because Ivan on Twitter has volunteered to help out, and he says, come on, Taylor Swift 13, let's make this happen. Hashtag Swift on Social Hour, hashtag Taylor Swift. And he has photoshopped Taylor next to Randy on the couch. And the really nice touch here is that he gave her a headset. Because, you know, why have Taylor Swift on the show if you can't hear her?
That's incredible.
So he gave her one of the headsets. And Ivan, that's
Ivan,
nicely done.
That is incredible. That is really something.
Nicely done, Ivan. That's the tweet of the day. If we had a thing where we said this is the tweet of the day, that would be the tweet of the day. She looks good next to RJ, I got to tell you. She wouldn't look bad on the couch.
Well, almost anything looks good next to RJ.
It's Taylor Swift, for goodness sakes.
Right.
That wasn't, yeah. No, okay. All right. Fair enough. All right, I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat now, Bill.
Okay.
Are you ready? Prepared,
I'm ready.
Mentally, physically, because it does warm up. I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat, and I'm going to ask you about a double-A pitcher for the San Antonio Missions, Colin Ray, R-E-A. People have probably heard about Colin Ray this year. He has been unbelievable. What's his ERA? His ERA is like 1-something, right?
106.
106 ERA. Right. Pitching for double A.
Remember, he lost a month of the season to back spasms.
Right.
Since he's been back in 3 starts, has not allowed an earned run.
That's good.
Yeah, he's really on a roll. Start at the offseason, he was ranked like the number 15th. MLB.com ranked him the number 15 prospect in the organization last winter. I would imagine right now, with the way everything shakes out, he can be no worse than 2 or 3.
Okay.
He has been that impressive this year. Now has the lowest.
I'm trying to ask you a question for the Cholula hot seat.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. You're rattling off some very good numbers and some things that are important to know about. But here's my question for Colin Ray. There's going to be a temptation to promote him. because he's dominating the Texas League right now. He is dominating. Is it more of a challenge to his confidence to promote him to face Major League hitting or to put him in the Pacific Coast League with all those crazy hitter-friendly parks? I mean that seriously. I think I'm not saying it's easier to pitch in the Major Leagues than in the Pacific Coast League because that's obviously not the case. But when you've got a guy going this good, is this one of those times when you might consider saying, hey, let's stick him out in one of these, you know, hitter-friendly parks, give him a shot at the big league level, and bypass AAA at least for the moment?
I think that the common rule of thumb now in baseball is on really good pitchers, jump them from AA to the major leagues and skip the Pacific Coast League because it's so hitter-friendly. I would not be surprised that if he stays at San Antonio all year, does not get promoted to AAA, and if he does make a jump, if it's whenever they need him, and they may need him the next time, he might get the next call if there's another injury and Morrow's not back yet. Because when Lupke comes back, it's going to be as a long man in the bullpen.
Right.
He's not going to be starting this year. So Colin Ray might be the next pitcher you would go to if you need a pitcher.
But if everything kind of stays as is, he's saying it's Operation 2016.
Right. And he doesn't go to AAA this year. He stays in AA.
And then you drop him into big league camp and spring training next year, and you sort of let the cards fall where they may.
But if you've got an emergency, you would bring him up.
Okay. Very interesting. Another name to try and keep in mind there, Colin Ray. Outstanding. Outstanding this year for the San Antonio Missions. Bill was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Everybody knows the All-Star Game coming to Petco Park next July. How about the Lake Elsinore Storm? They'll host the California League, Carolina League All-Star Game next June. Congrats to the folks up in Elsinore. That's exciting.
Right. We just had the single-A All-Star Games last night.
Rancho Cucamonga this year.
Right. Rancho Cucamonga, California League One. Eric Yardley pitched two-thirds of an inning.
You got everything.
Oh, yeah.
You're all lined up. I like that you do this without notes. You may not always be right, but you're quick.
I was wrong on the earned run average earlier. You
know what?
Me.
You can be wrong on Marcus Mateo's AAA ERA. That's okay. And honestly, I don't even know that you're wrong. I had written down earlier in the day 1.86. It's very possible I screwed that up. But, you know, either way, under 2.
Right.
2 thumbs up.
Right.
That's what they say about ERAs. That's the old axiom. Under 2, 2 thumbs up. You heard that a lot.
No,
of course not. I just made it up now. It's ridiculous.
Right. You have a tendency to do that to me.
You know, we messed with you a little bit in the last couple weeks. I apologize. On behalf of Blooper and myself, this was an off-air thing. We had you going on something, and
Got the old man, the blood pressure up. I even went to see my doctor saying, I got this thing going on.
We're very sorry. We're very sorry.
You're not.
We're very, very sorry. We really are.
I can see the grin right now. Bloopers over there. Boy, we got him.
Yeah, a little bit. But I do apologize. I do apologize. Hey, Dave on Twitter, he says, hey, really, Jesse Agler? You're going to get Taylor Swift on Social Hour? You couldn't even get a farmer to give up his unused Twitter account for Dennis Lynn. Fair point. Here's the thing. We did not assault the other Dennis Lynn on Twitter the way Blooper is assaulting Taylor Swift. So we said, all right, we were sort of passive in our approach to the other Dennis Lynn. We're being very aggressive with our approach to Taylor Swift. And who knows? Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, who knows?
But that's right. I had forgotten about the other Dennis Lynn Twitter account. We need to circle back on that at some point this summer. That could be like a good all-star break project. Just start hammering the other Dennis Lynn. So here's if you missed the show that day, Dennis T. Lynn is the beat reporter for the Padres for the Union Tribune, and his Twitter handle is at Dennis T. Lynn because at Dennis Lynn is taken by some guy who's like a soybean farmer who has tweeted once, and it was like 4 years ago. And so we were trying to help Dennis get the at Dennis Lynn Twitter account, and no success. whatsoever. Do you know an All-Star mom? Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one All-Star mom and send her to the game, the All-Star game in Cincinnati. It's a very serious show, Bill. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. We're trying to take Twitter accounts away from soybean farmers in Idaho because that's what Padres Social Hour is all about.
One of the great campaigns.
No, from start to finish. It's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
So here's the thing. A couple really good Twitter questions that have come in. Blooper informs us, though, that we're out of time. And I don't want to rush the question from James about Corey Spangenberg. I don't want to rush the question that was sent in earlier today from Alex Pena 07. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to say we'll try to get to them tomorrow. And hopefully we do. More importantly than that, hopefully, Bill Center, the Padres win again tonight. And we talk about going for the sweep tomorrow morning at 11:30 on Padres Social Hour.
That'd be great.
Yes, it would. Have a lovely evening, everybody. Enjoy the game.